Now, there's just two scriptures that I want to read tonight, and the first one is found in Mark's Gospel and chapter 7. Mark's Gospel and chapter 7. Right to the end of the chapter, and verse 31, Mark 7 and verse 31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I just want you to underline that phrase, He hath done all things well. And then, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, a few verses. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now, for the sake of time, we'll just finish there with the Lord bless you. It is just the little thought, really, the comparison of what was spoken by the people to the Lord when they said to him, Thou hast done all things well. The well done that they gave to the perfect servant. And when we come to Matthew chapter 25, we have that lovely statement this time from the Lord himself to those faithful servants. And he says to them, Well done, thou good unfaithful servant. So I just want you to think of the contrast, the perfect servant that hears well done from the people of Galilee that day, and those faithful servants who will hear well done from the Lord himself in the coming day. Now just to have those two thoughts before us, and look a little at them for a few minutes this evening. I was moved again to think in relation to this story of the man here that the Lord healed. Now, there are many things about it. You could think, of course, of the deformity of the man, the difficulty that he had, being deaf and having an impediment in his speech. And then you could think of the desire of his friends, how that they beseech him on his behalf. You see, the man had the problem, but the people had the care, and they knew that the Lord had the cure. It is a great thing, surely, for us all, that we have a care. You see, these people had a care for the man, and they had a confidence in the Lord. They had a care for the man in his need, and they knew that the Lord could meet his need. And I trust you know that we will ever have this before us, even in a year that is soon to come, that we might ever have that care for others and have that confidence that the Lord is able to meet that need. And so you have this brought before us, the desire of his friends, and then you have, of course, the deliverance by the Lord. Now, I'm not going into all this story, but just a little outline, you know. It's only to see that, first of all, that the Lord took him. He took him aside, away from the crowd. And then the Bible would tell us how that he touched him. Lovely thing to think of the Lord, you know, and his touch. And if you go through the Gospels and you think of the occasions and the people that the Lord touched, and we sometimes sing about it, don't we? He touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul, he touched me and made me whole. It's a marvelous thing, you know, to be touched by a divine hand. And all of us tonight who know the grace of God in truth and the Savior as our own, we have been touched by a divine hand. Divinely touched and definitely touched and eternally touched, because to be touched by him, we can never be the same again. And so the man, you see, he took him, and then he touched him. And then you would see how that he turned to heaven. Lovely to think of the Lord, the perfect servant here, of course, in Mark's Gospel. And he turned to heaven, to his Father, to the place from which he came. My, you know, there was one who was here on earth, but heaven never was far from his heart and from his soul. And then you can see his tenderness. The Bible says how that he sighed. And you read that word there, don't you? Regarding the Lord Jesus, how that there it says that he sighed. It's a thought, you see, of the Lord's pity for the man in his need, in his difficulty. The tenderness of Christ. I hope tonight that something that always comes to us, that the Lord that we present and the Lord that we preach is the tenderness of his. And then you can see again, my, how that he talked to the man and he said to him, be opened. And then, of course, he transformed him. You can think a lot on those things, you know. His ears were open, his tongue was loose. And then the declaration of the people as they witnessed this is what they said. Oh, they said, he hath done all things. That's a lovely statement, isn't it? We often try and preach that in the gospel as well, of course. We sing about it, don't we, in one of our hymns, and above the rest this note shall swell, my Jesus has done all things. And what they said that day, of course, they really didn't realize just the truth that they were saying. You know that if you go through the Gospels, there are statements that people make at times regarding the Lord. And sometimes they don't realize the import and the importance of what they are really saying. And you see what the people said that day, that
he hath done all things well. That those words were really poignant words, you see. They were really, my, as you think about them, that they were really perfect. They were tremendous words. Because, in essence, they summed up the servant. The one who was ever doing. The one who was ever working. The one who was ever dispensing and blessing. He hath done all things. As I thought about that, and my mind really turned, you know, to different things that are spoken of as regards the Lord and what He has done. And when you think of creation, you go to Psalm number 33, and it says there that He spake, and it was done. He spake, and it was done. And when you think of creation, you could write that over the creation. He hath done all things well. And you think of the creation and the vastness, you know, in Genesis 1, you remember there were those in the different days and how that each day was good and then the sixth day it was very good. And what He has done. You think of the greatness of creation. Psalm number 8, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? He hath done all things. And when it comes to creation, you see that shining in every facet, in every way. My, what He has done, the greatness of creation, the vastness of it. You know, sometimes when one is trying to read and maybe pull a book out of the shelf, I've seen me at times, you know, opening a book, and there's a little tiny insect right in the middle. How it gets there, I don't know. And you know, that little tiny insect running down the page, to me, is actually far more fascinating than the elephant with all its bigness. That little tiny insect has all the ingredients and all the requirements, and yet infinitesimally small. I'll tell you the greatness of God. To me, the greatness of God is seen in a little tiny insect even more than a great big elephant or whatever. The marvel of God. You see, He spake and it was done. Now we come to creation and we know that that's in relation to the universe, but my, we can take it down to every creature, can't we? And you think of not only its greatness, but its glory in relation to what He has done. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, one star different from another star in glory. You know, I learned that a long time ago. I learned that at Sunday school. You know, as a preacher came our way, a lot of years ago when I was a wee boy, the Sunday school yonder in Ockram, and it was those days my, well, they still do it, they make the preacher have a go at the Sunday school as well. And, you know, it was the late D.L. Craig, and he taught us that. And I always remember him telling us that the only place in your Bible you get glory four times. The glory, creation, its greatness and its glory. Creation, my, you think of Psalm 19, it says the heavens declare the glory. I couldn't help but not only think of the greatness and the glory, but to think of the grandness in relation to the creation, my, that He spake and it was done. And our Bible tells us there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 that he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Oh, the grandness of it. I'll tell you tonight, he hath done all things. But you see, you could think a lot more on that, no doubt. But not only you come to creation and what a work that was, but you come to Calvary. And my mind again went this time to the Psalms. And Psalm 22, you know, is the great Psalm of the cross. But that Psalm comes to an end by saying, he hath done this. The word done. He hath done this. And just as creation was done, so when it comes to Calvary, all was done. And of course, when we think of creation done, and what a work it was, Calvary's work that was done, greater by far, redemption's work that has brought us into the blessing of God. Lovely to think about that work, you see, it was a full work. Well, it was all done. And you see, it was a finished work. It was well done. And then you look at it, it was a forever work. It was eternal. You know, there's sometimes a person can do a job. And, you know, you may get that scrutinizing eye. And someone might say, well, it's done, but it's not well done. And some might say, well, it's a job that's just half done. But I'll tell you this thing. The Lord not only did it, he did it now. He not only did it, but he did it all. He did it all, he did it well. He did it forever. What a work. You know, just the other day, I went into the city hall. The boy here, Richard, he wanted to see around the city hall. So they're closed, as you see, for 2 years to refurbish it. Built in 1906. And we got a tour of the city hall. I didn't go up onto the mayor's seat at all. But others did. But you see, what I'm trying to say is this. It was built 100 years ago. But it needs repair. But what the Lord Jesus did 2,000 years ago never needed it. It's a work that's as good as the day it happened. It was well done and all done. Eternally. Love to think about that, don't we? Love to preach that in the gospel, don't we? Because that's the very hub of it. That's the very heart of it. You see, there are sometimes people and they do some things well. And then there's others who do most things well. But the Lord has done all things. Wasn't it the thief who said, this man hath done nothing. And so you come to creation. You've done all things well. You come to Calvary. My, he hath done that. You come, my, to the thought of individuals and to conversion. And I couldn't help but think, and some of these are in Mark's Gospel, of course, are in other Gospels as well. You remember the story of the man of Gadara. And the Lord Jesus said to him, he says, go home, he says, to thy friend and tell him, how great things the Lord hath done for me, and hath had compassion on me. Tell him how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion. Ah, that man, you know, what the Lord hath done for him. It's a great thing, isn't it, tonight, to think of what the Lord has done for us. To think of what the Lord has blessed us and done for us. Now there's a lot you could say about that man. Would you remember the woman in the same chapter of Mark chapter 5? The woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that the woman, fearing and trembling, listen to this bit, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, told him all. Isn't that lovely? What was done in. You see, it was something that was done in her. It wasn't done by her. The reality is this tonight, salvation is something that's done in us, not by us. But he does it. And he does it, my, in a way that you could never explain if you believe it with all your heart. Well then, you could think again of the psalmist. What did he say? My, I was thinking of this, you know, the psalmist says, come, he says, and hear. All ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. How glory is. What he hath done for my soul. Hey, we live in a world where people could do a whole lot of things for your body. For all different types of things that regarding this life. And they're offering this and that. And they're trying, my, you to buy this and try this and the other thing. There's nowhere can do anything for your soul. The psalmist says, come, I'll tell you, he says, what he's done for us. That it to me. By this evening, the whole reality is, you see, the thing that makes the believer different is there's been something that he has done. When you look at the Bible, you'll see that he saved our souls. Hebrews 10, my, we're amongst those who believe to the saving of the soul. My, you'll see that he has satisfied our souls. The psalmist said, he satisfieth the longing soul. You'll notice again from 1 Peter 4 that he secured our souls. Commit the keeping of their souls in well-doing as unto a faithful God. Come. Come, he says, and I'll tell you what he's done for my soul. Listen tonight, dear believer. Honest, that's the thing. What he has done. But the hymn writer said, what he has done for the soul of man, I never will see. What he's done. He's done all things well. I thought about it again, you know. In confession, the psalmist in Psalm 126. And you remember there is probably their return from Babylon and the deliverance. And then that lovely psalm says, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's what the people say. But then down the psalm, my, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Yes. As we look over a year, then there's a lot of things that the Lord has done for us. There's a lot of things that the Lord has blessed us with. And sometimes there's a multitude of things that we maybe take for granted. And you know, it's a great thing just to stop as we are here tonight at the end of the year and realize what he has done for us. Oh, how many, how great, how big are his blessings. A wonderful tonight. He hath done all things. Now, we went over that pretty quick. Just a few minutes. I want to turn it and wear the cloak. The well done with a purpose. In every aspect, in every facet, in everything you look at him, my, he is the incomparable. But lovely then to think tonight of the challenges, isn't The challenge might that we read about in Matthew chapter 25, the well done, good and faithful. There are three parables, and I'm not going to go into these in detail, because it's a bit heavy for this kind of night. But, you know, there are three parables that have to do with reward. And there's one of them has to do with the penny, and the other with the talent, and the other with the pound. And of course, if you were to read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, it's that parable in relation to the laborer and the man who went out in the early morning and he hired laborers for his vineyard and they agreed on a penny. And then he went out, you see, at the third hour. And there were those that were standing idly by. And he asked them why if they would work in the vineyard. So they went. And the sixth hour. And the ninth hour. In fact, right up to the 11th. And then the amazing thing is that when the day was done, he brought the ones that had been hired last, those that had come in at the 11th hour and just had worked 1 hour, he paid them first, you see, in front of the others that had started at the beginning of the day. And those that came in at the 11th hour, he gave them a penny. And right down to those that started at the very dawn. Well, of course, they weren't a bit happy with that news. Well, you know, if that were to happen today, there'd be a few problems, wouldn't there? Why, the ones that came in at the 11th hour got the same as those that started right on the dark of the dawn. I think there's a truth here, you know, and I hope we'll try and make it clear. There's a sense here that unequal opportunity for service does not mean a lesser or smaller. Now by that I mean is this. If you take the assumption of someone who saved 50 years and someone 5 years and the Lord takes them home, you think in your reckoning that the person who was saved 50 years gets a greater reward? The truth is this, that the person who has saved 5 years can get every bit as great a reward as the person saved 50 years. That's a marvelous thought, isn't it? It's what you call an 11th hour man. Now, there's a man that I knew a few years ago who lived outside Port of Down. And he had just been saved a few years. And the Lord took him home. And I went to his funeral. And as we were walking behind the remains, I said to someone walking beside me, I said, you know, this was an 11th hour man. This was a man that came in. As regards his life and experience and service of the 11th hour. And I'll tell you, if you knew the man that I was talking about, you would say amen. But there's a great encouragement for you. You see, the fact is this, that in relation to reward, it does not go on the amount of years, but rather there is a sense in which we'll see again, there is the thought of that devotion and faithfulness and enthusiasm. Because it is possible for someone who's just been saved 5 years to accomplish as much for God as someone saved. Now then, very briefly, 5 minutes. They all got a penny. Now, the second one that I'm referring to is Matthew 25, where we read, in relation to the talents, and here there was 5 talents and 2 talents and so on, Here it's the thought, you see, of different capacity. Different capacity for service. There was a man that was given 5 talents. There was another that was given 2. And the other that was given 1 talent. Now, of course, when the man came back from that place, from that far country, and came back, well, there was the man of the 5 talents, you know, 10. The man that had 2, now 4. 0.6. Everybody hasn't been given the same ability or capacity. So there are different abilities and capacities in service for the Lord. But the point is this, that the man who had the 2 talents and turned it into 4 was 100%, just as the man who had the 5 and turned it into 10, and both heard, well done. I hope tonight you realize that we're all gifted in a sense. There are those with different capacities and abilities. And the big thing, a person who may be gifted lesser than someone else is faithful. I must finish. There's a parable of the pounds. The 10 servants, each getting a penny, occupied till I come. You know, there's a sense here in which you have equal responsibility. 10 is the number of responsibility. And let's be honest here. I believe from this that there is something, you see, every believer, my, there is something that we all can do. We can all pray. We can all pray. We can all work. We can all work. Someday, you know, the Lord hasn't left any of us in that we might do it with him. And if, oh, for the well done. I wonder, for the year that has gone, over my life, over your life, would it be one of the years where the Lord could say, what about the year before it's in his hands? I trust that we might live for him. Or he passed from us.